And I heard, as it were, the noise of thunder. One of the four beasts saying, "Come and see." And I saw, and behold, a white horse.
There's a man going around taking names, and he decides who to free and who to blame. Everybody won't be treated all the same. There will be a golden ladder reaching down when the man comes to bed. The hairs on your arm will stand up at the terror in each sip and in each suck. Will you partake of that last offered cup or disappear into the potter's bar when the man comes back? Hear the trumpets, hear the pipers, 100 million angels singing, multitudes are marching to the big battle ground. Voices calling, voices crying. Some are born and some are dying. It's Alpha and Omega's kingdom come. And the whirlwind is in the thorn tree. The virgins are all trimming their wigs. The whirlwind is in the thorn tree. It's hard for me to kick against the pricks.
Welcome in here tonight with us to the Shepherd's Call. Glad to have you aboard tonight. A continuation on the Star Kings. And we're going to go into part two tonight. And we ask you to stay tuned. Praise Yahweh here on the Mighty Voice around the world, WWCR. We are live and direct from the hills of East Tennessee. Let's get right into the Bible. And we're going to go to the first book of 1 Samuel. And we've been talking about the Star King issues. In other words, the issues of the Star Kings, meaning that they came down, the gods, literally the gods from heaven descended, and they began to mate with women. And we had what we now describe in this series for you tonight. Star Kings. Now we're going to, before we go to 1 Samuel, let's go back into the fifth verse of chapter 3, Genesis. And I'm going to begin actually in verse 3 to let you know who's doing the talking here. And the serpent said to the woman, "You shall not surely die." Now, is the issue here of Star King issues, in other words, the issue from a Star King, in this case, the Satan, Lucifer, as he's known in the Bible, the serpent here, the serpent just is a code word, that this mighty angel was dealing with Eve, trying to persuade her to have his child instead of Yahweh's. Now, here we go. Now, indirectly, we're going to see a gap situation here. This is where the curse came in. You see, Yahweh's son, Adam, was an eternal being. Eve, an issue from Adam, was to enjoy eternal life with no labor, and she was to be actually the mother of all living. Well, she became the mother of two issues here. She had two sons. One was Cain, an issue from Satan, or Lucifer, or the other was Abel, an issue from the other star king, Yahweh. Now, that's simple. You say, well, Pastor Billy, Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived, and she brought forth these two sons. No, no, no. If you go back inside the garden, the woman was already pregnant, and we know now that she was pregnant with two seeds, fraternal twins, as we call them, meaning that they had the same mother, but they had two different fathers. And this is going to be the issue of the star genes, and this is why we're bringing it to your attention, to let you focus on what the genetic war, or the war between the good seed and the bad seed, or the white and the black of the issues here, and what this is all about. And so then, if Satan, Lucifer, the servant, the fallen angel, now you see, before he fell, he had authorization to go to and fro in the earth and in the heavens. They could travel, however their mode of travel was. We'll leave that up to you and your thinking. But this is an intelligent species that existed prior to Adam and Eve coming into the picture. Now, if Adam was an eternal being, then Adam existed long before Satan. Now, that might surprise you to know that. But only an eternal being has eternal life. And eternal life is something that was given from eternity with no beginning and no end. This is what the Melchizedek High Priest Star King the series that Pastor Buddy has been teaching on for the last 20 years to try to get you to see that in the beginning, prior to Genesis 1 and 1, because you see here in the book of Genesis chapter 1 and verse 26, it's very plain. God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness, make man in our image. Our is plural. So Yahweh and the angels, if you do believe that Yahweh's got a body, if you do believe that he pre-existed, it's just not like some figment of the imagination. This image is a God casting shadow. At that time, these were eternal shadows. Even the angels who had a beginning were to never have an end. Adam, the 8-day man, not the 6-day man, I did this correct. You see, when God rested from his labors in chapter 3 of Genesis, we find that there was not a man to till the ground. And as he ended the seventh day, Adam was not present upon the earth. Now, this may bring some confusion to you, because if we go back to Genesis chapter 1, and God said, let us make men in our image according to our likeness, and let them, not him, let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing on earth. And so God created man in his image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female, he created them. Not even spirit beings. And yet there's not, at this time, Adam, the flesh man. He don't admit the flesh man is not in this issue from the star god, the mighty one. If we believe that Yahweh was the principal god, along with the helpers, in this case, the angelic beings, that's why I said, let us make man in our image. If the angelic beings bared an image reflection and cast the same reflection as did Yahweh, now we're going back to a time before the earth was inhabited, to a place in the heavens somewhere in the deep in space where there are other inhabited planets, if you will, where heaven is, wherever heaven is. This is the planet called heaven. And we know that God and his angels live on this planet. They're like you. Because it says that man, you, were created in his image, and in their image, and in their likeness. And God saw that everything was good, and so the evening and the morning was the sixth day, Genesis 1:31. And the heavens and earth and all the hosts of them were finished, and on the seventh day, now, from the sixth day, there's nothing happening on the seventh day but rest. Now, this rest is a period or a transitional period, a time elapse. How many days? How many months? How many years? How many thousands of years? How many hundreds of thousands of years? How many millions of years? Because in God, in him, is no time. How long was it before that everything he made cooled and refreshed itself? Well, notice here, after the Bible said that God rested and he blessed the seventh day and sanctified it because he rested from all his work and that which God had created, God had created. This is a Strong's number, 430 in your Hebrew, and it's Elohim, not a singular L. God's created and made. So then, the hierarchy went like this. There was a government in heaven. This government was controlled by a hierarchy. We still know that Michael and Gabriel, Raphael, and other angels listed in the book of our Bible and in the book of Enoch, where he mentions the names of a lot of angels. Now, when these good angels, all good at this time, all stayed good, no, nothing wrong here at this point. And so then we've got the command to be fruitful and to multiply. Now what's wrong with that? Nothing wrong with that, except Satan, when we got the command, and here's what it said. This is the history of the heavens. Not only is it a history of that, but the heavens. See, the heavens have got a history that man knows very little about, although we went to the moon, they say. Strange man been back since 69. Wonder why. Well, I don't think they ever went in those times in 1969. I don't believe that man was on the moon in 1969. I believe that was all a fabrication and a Hollywood production, if you will, by NASA and the secret U.S. government to actually trick everyone to contribute more money, space issue money. This goes into the black op programs of the science and technology that was developed in the 40s, ladies and gentlemen, to fly without these crude-looking shots that's going into space now. This is diversionary. NASA is diversionary. It is not the main space program of the United States. We have a super secret space program where we are now joining with these fallen star kings who are now coming back to the Earth through time lapse. Meaning that the time has come that these fallen angels must now begin to prepare to make their last stand as they did in Genesis 6. They were overwhelmed and defeated by the angelic host. And when I say angelic, these are men, men of renown. And when they had issue upon the earth with woman, in other words, from this star king issues, those who fell from heaven and begin to mate with the daughters of men. It specifically says that they mated with the daughters of men, meaning that these beings were all males, and they dominated. It's not to say that there's not females, angels. It's just that these males were who were warlike, came down and taught the secret science, the Book of Enoch. We are failing to get the whole picture because we only accept the King James Bible in most cases as the supreme, superior word of God. And ladies and gentlemen, this is a book that has been tampered with, and all of the books that should have been in the Bible and was in the original King James Bible, 12 that's now been taken out and said, well, it doesn't contribute anything to the learning of the readers. Well, why didn't they leave that up to the readers? Have you ever read the 12 missing books that's in the original 1611 King James Bible and not in the revised 1846 Bible? They took them out. Who took them out? Man. What if they were good enough to be in the original 1611 and prior to that into other translations prior to the King James? You see, the King James is not the first Bible translation. It's just become the most popular of translations. Why? Because it actually fits the agenda of the modern church age. It doesn't fit in, or it brings up too many questions to bring all these other books of the Apocrypha back into view of the readers, and it brings up certain issues and questions that Pastor Buddy has to go into to bring you up to speed to know actually what happened in the Star King descent. They descended from heaven. Once they were down here and begin to mate, we find a history of the heavens, it says here. And this is the history of the heavens. Have you ever read that? This is the history of the heavens. But it don't tell anything about the history of heavens. It just mentions that there is a history of heavens. This is the history of the heavens and earth when they were created in the day that Yahweh made the earth and the heavens. And here is the link, the linking, or the missing link that I'm going to install for you in verse 5. Of Genesis chapter 2. Before any plant of the field was in the earth. Before. And before the herb of the field had grown. For Yahweh had not caused it to rain upon the earth, and there was no man to till the ground. Isn't that interesting? Genesis 1:26-1:27, God created man on the sixth day. Yet there wasn't a man here in the literal earth before any plant of the field was in the earth and before any herb of the field, for it didn't rain. Now, what's rain got to do with man? Well, of course, we know what rain has to do with the earth, because it has to have rain, or it has to have water. Everything has to have water. Man himself is 75% water. Now we're going back, it looks like to me, from the spirit beings that pre-existed before Genesis 1 and 1. Because the Bible says the earth became dark and void. It didn't say it was dark and void or created that way. It says that the earth, in Genesis 1, listen to me here now, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. That's not the proper translation. The proper translation is that the earth became, don't say the time, dark and void. Now, that explains why that Adam, as it says here in Genesis, that God said in verse 28, then God blessed the image of God. Man was created in the image of God. He created man, male and female. He created them. And then he blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it, have dominion over the fish of the earth, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth. And God said, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. Meaning that something existed before the earth became dark. You see, God could not have created anything in darkness, because there's no darkness in God, and he can't create something that's not in him. Now then, if we have an earth that was full of light, light beings, these are the spirit beings. Remember, the history of the heavens has to be thought out or understood before we can get the history of the earth. As it is above, so it is below. If we exist here, we existed somewhere else prior to being here. Before any flame of the field. But a mist went up from the earth and watered the whole place, and the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground, and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. That's neshama in the Hebrew. Neshama is a present, carnal, if you will, or a physical breath of life. It has nothing to do with the spirit man. That means that the spirit man, these created beings, and the eternal beings pre-existing before as light beings, they did not need flesh and blood. But to have a visible presence, they needed flesh and blood to exist. So then the existing of flesh and blood man happened after, not before, the sixth day. After. Because the seventh day he rested, there was no work, labor, or anything, and there was not a man to till the ground. And so what happened here? These star gods, literally, basically, purposely, formed a vehicle to place these light beings, these beings without flesh and blood. Remember, flesh and blood cannot inherit. But at one time, it was the intention of the mighty ones, the Elohim, as they convened to expand out of the heavens onto the earth and to populate the earth with experimentations of light beings living in flesh bodies. These light beings, or these sons of the offspring of the gods, these star kings, as we call them in this series. In this case, they came from heaven to occupy, subdue, and to rule and to live upon the earth. Now, and out of the ground, the Lord God made every tree to grow that's pleasant and good for food, and the tree of life is in the midst of the garden, and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Now, remember that. That's going to be very important, because we're using code words here to key your understanding to what literally happened for these light beings who did not have flesh and blood bodies. But after this chemical composition of flesh and this mysterious substance of blood, nobody knows how it's formed, it's made, but the Bible says life is in the blood. And certainly true that you can't live without blood. It is certainly true, without the shedding of blood, you can't live. Now, that's an opposite, or a paradox of opposites against each other. How is it that we can't live without blood? And flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom, but we've got to have a blood to cover our sins, or our corporeal flesh body, to make us white as snow in the presence of these gods that created us in the very beginning. Well, it's quite simple that once Satan played the genetic chess game by impregnating against the will of the angelic beings that remain loyal to Yahweh, and the insistence that Satan did no wrong by the example, they, the other angels that fell, took his side, and then there was a great disagreement on a planet somewhere in the heavens. Let's just call it heaven for the sake of a better word. That's what it's called in the Bible. Those that go back to heaven are only those who came from heaven. No man can go back to heaven except he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. At that time, he's standing on earth talking. Now, what do you mean by that? You had to have a pre-existence of approval by the Father. You came out from heaven, or you came from another planet. You were transplanted, just like every tree before it grew in earth, before every herb, and everything that is here upon the earth had to have a seed existing somewhere else in, if not another dimension, on another planet. Let's just simplify and say another planet. In other words, they had to transplant, if you will, the roses and the cucumbers and the melons and these things, and they had to bring those seeds from heaven and planted them here in the earth. These heavenly helpers, these angelic beings, as we call them. And every time that they came down to the earth, they had the ability to transform their shield, white shield bodies, by a protective shield, and this is important, ladies and gentlemen, for you to catch just exactly what I'm going to say here as we go into part two of the Star King series. You certainly don't want to miss part three. But let me expound to you and explain to you exactly why that it was impossible for a vibrating light body, or light being, to come down here without the shield of a corporate body, or a body that would protect in the vibrational sequences of the third dimension, as opposed to the fourth or fifth dimension. It's a complete set of vibratory differences, and just like something that can't exist in a vibratorial system that it's not designed for. In this case, the angelic beings will incorporate flesh bodies. They would borrow these actually from the prototype of Adam. You see, on the seventh day, Adam became a flesh and blood being. He was a temporal being after the curse. He was an eternal being in the flesh. He could have lived in this flesh body eternally before the fall. But after the fall, Yahweh had to curse everything that came from the womb with the shedding of blood, in other words, the menstrual cycle of the woman, as she brings forth water, blood, and spirit. And it takes these three elements, water, blood, and spirit, to return to balance. And yet there's only one particular blood that will be accepted back into the heavens. And that's what this message is all about here tonight. The descent and the ascent of the Star Kings. Those who descended and mixed with women and brought illicit seed, they are no longer authorized or accepted back into the kingdom of heaven. Now we know prior to Revelations chapter 12, verse 7, that there was a war. This war was huge by man's warring standards. How does this angel war? You can look into the heavens and see the effects, the pocket marks, if you will. Cystelsis, if this was caused by erosion or by particles that have bombarded the planet and the planets for thousands and thousands and thousands of years. That may be true, but at one time there was no particles in the heaven to cause a debris field, or what we call the area around the earth where we have what we call these huge stones that are freewheeling around in space or in orbits or as comets and things of this nature are formed. There was no pollution in the heavens until there was a war. And this war resulted from blasting with sky ray technology, huge super magnetic beams of energy fired from one vehicle to the next. There was a literal sky god war in the heavens. The kingdom of heaven suffered violence, and violence took it by force by these star gods who were warring over the very issue that Pastor Buddy is bringing to you here on the Shepherd's Call tonight, live and direct. You won't hear it anywhere else, because no preacher in his right mind that loves the world would go where these angels themselves forbid us to tread. But Pastor Buddy authorized and taught by the Holy Shekinah, bringing you the revelation, kept secret from the foundation, now in the last days, to bring the rest of the story to you, to give you these Sky Kings' history of the heavens. War. Revelations 12, verse 7. The good angels, those who remain loyal, those who refused to miscegenate, they have the ability, ladies and gentlemen. The good guys had the same ability as the bad guys, and they could have given up their heavenly estate and fell with. Now, Satan didn't know that there was going to be a severe inflicted punishment and a no-forgiveness clause placed upon his seed and his deeds. Which brings up the fact that the Bible is true. The clay cannot respond to the potter. Why have you made me this way? The Bible says that Satan was upright and perfect until iniquity was found in him. The others who were enticed, looking at Satan's seed, to see Satan's seed begin to progress and to evolve in the earth as Cain's seed begin to build great cities, become musical, talented, inclined. These musical vibrations caused even the sons of Yah to go astray, and they begin to come down, and they themselves begin to participate in the issues of bringing forth illicit, illegal, and unjust seed into the earth. Now, why then would Yahweh punish angelic beings for mating with man? Very simple. With this miscegenation or crossing of the seeds, the angelic beings would form or spawn children of the earth that would become evil, and we find it here in Genesis chapter 6. Listen, now it came to pass that when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God. Ladies and gentlemen, this is a bad translation, but if you will look at some of the more proper translations, it means that they who from heaven came, the sons of God, these offspring, or these created beings of Yahweh. Yahweh created them. They saw the daughters of men that they were beautiful, and they took wives for themselves of all whom they had chose. Now, by doing this, they created what we would describe as an anti or a generic seed that would not obey or keep the laws. Because, see, Yahweh taught them here. He actually gave them a space to see what they would do. You see, a tree is known by its fruit, and the evil tree, knowing good. That's the problem, see. The good tree knowing evil, and the evil tree knowing good. In other words, in the flesh man exists what is known as a carnal mind. This carnal mind is enmity. It became a weapon of warfare against the righteous cause of our very genetics or our intentions. Therefore, sin resulted. And when sin had the curse, and that was Yahweh's only weapon of defense to keep the satanic, Canaanitic, and other races of seeds out of the heavens to which they would long to return to. You see, that's why that wicked man is going out in space. This is the same thing that happened at the Tower of Babel. The Tower of Babel was another example of those who were trying to climb into the heavens some other way. And the same thing is happening today. Man, in his wisdom and knowledge, who does not like to retain the truth of the knowledge in his memory banks, will divest himself of righteousness and cling to that which is evil, and for the power of greed and money and prestige and honor of the earth, the carnal mind does these things in opposition to that which was rightfully intended by the Creator. Now, let me show you something here. I'm not even going to get the persona tonight. In fact, I'm just giving an introduction here. And I hope and trust that this, if you will, this analysis of the history of the heavens will give you some input and help you to understand that the war is now down where you live. And unless you can escape the clutches of the carnality or the flesh and blood man, you have found no part with him in the heavens. Now, Moses. and the sons of God, and those who from heaven came, saw the daughters of men, and all were beautiful, and they took wives for themselves of all whom they chose. And Yahweh said, my spirit shall not strive with man forever. Right then, it saddened him. It saddened him, for he is indeed flesh, yet his days shall be 120, as he shortened the days of man to speed up the incarnations of these spirits for trial and error, to prove themselves before his presence. And there were giants on the earth in those days, and also afterward, when the sons of God, these who from heaven came into the daughters of men, and they bore children to them, these were the mighty men who were of old, men of renown. In other words, the genetics are beginning to manifest itself here. Well, we had that six-fingered and six-toed individual who was actually genetically generic to the original image and creation of the mighty ones. And then Yahweh saw the wickedness of man became great in the earth. And Yahweh saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intent of the father of the heart was only evil continuous. You see what I'm talking about, the carnal? And it became adapted from angelic flesh. In other words, these angels were able to impregnate these earthly women, both from the daughters of Adam and from the daughters of Cain, or the daughters of Seth in this case, and the daughters of Cain, both good and evil. And so then, this mixture of good and evil produced disastrous results, because man continuously thought on evil, nothing good, because the evil man always overpowers the spirit being. So the spirit being was good, and those that were good. But even those that were good got infected with the mind of the carnal, and the carnal mind deceived them and turned them into beings of continuous evil. And Yahweh was sorry that he had made man on the earth, and he was grieved in his heart. So Yahweh said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, creeping thing, and birds of the air, for I am sorry for all that I have made. Ladies and gentlemen, do you get the picture here? Do you get the picture of what's going to happen as it was in the days of Noah? So shall it be in the coming of the Son of Man. As it was in the days of Noah. What were they doing? They were marrying angelic, or those who from heaven came. This was the sin. It was not wrong for man and woman to bring forth or to be fruitful and to multiply. That was the command. But when the sons of God, those who from heaven, the angelic beings, when they came down as star kings and started mating, they produced in the earth some of the most grotesque, unspeakable acts of sin and violence. And ladies and gentlemen, now we're giving you a history of the earth. Now, Yahweh, of course, brought Noah in, and you know the story about Noah, so I won't dwell on that point, because I'm going over here, as I have done preaching you, that Adam was the son of Yahweh. Now, we prove to you in Genesis chapter 26. Let me refresh your memories here as we go to Genesis chapter 26 and tell you some of the things after Yahweh promised in Genesis 18. Remember, he promised Abraham that Sarah would bring forth a son. And that, ladies and gentlemen, happened and in chapter 21. And Yahweh visited Sarah as he had said, and Yahweh did for Sarah as he had spoken. Now what did he do? For Sarah conceived. Well, he done something to her womb. Well, most people think that he just energized it and made her a new woman. And she went back and laid with Abraham, and she had Abraham's son. That ain't what happened here. Ladies and gentlemen, we're now into the war of the genetics, and only Yahweh and Satan will have the major players on the field. See, man is insignificant. Flesh and blood don't profit nothing, no way. It has to be the spirit then that will bring forth the fruits. A good tree cannot bring forth bad fruit, and a bad tree can't bring forth good fruit. And that's what the war is all about. So Yahweh himself had to start intervening in place of Adam or Adam's offspring. In this case, it would be Abraham, chosen with a covenant and a promise. But you see, the children of Abraham, and he had several, is not the issue here. The issue is Isaac. Who was Isaac? Was he a star king? Or was he born of the blood of the star king, in this case here, Yahweh? I believe so. And Yahweh did to Sarah, and he did to Sarah. And she conceived. Well, isn't that what he did to Mary? What's the difference between the birth or the conception or the immaculate, as they say? Conception. It's not the issue of where she's a virgin or not. The word virgin is not applied. It just says young woman in the original Hebrew. The Sarah here had known Abraham many times, but she had failed to bring forth children. And now here she is, 9 years old, and all of a sudden Yahweh drops in. And something magical, if you will, happens. She gets pregnant. Did she get pregnant with Abraham, who was 99, or did she get pregnant with Yahweh, who is the Rock of Ages? But when I say Rock of Ages, in other words, the seed. He is the root of Abraham. In other words, Yahweh has been in this impregnation technique that he employed. He's been in this for a long time. It just didn't happened with Mary. It happened before Mary. And these are the examples. Now, let me give you in part two of this series, and we're coming up on the end of time here. Let's go to the first segment where I told you where we're going before I got into the introduction. This had been 2 hours in the introduction. Part one was introduction, and part two looks like it's going to be most introduction. Hopefully in part three and four, I can get into the meat of the subject here. And they rose early in the morning. This is the first time of chapter one. And I don't have time to go into all the major things that I need to, but if you are meat eaters, you'll know what I'm saying. And they worshiped before Yahweh and returned and came to their house at Ramah. And Elkaniah knew Hannah, his wife, and Yahweh remembered her. Now, let's see here. Now, there is two instances that's written in the Bible. This sounds like that Hannah, his wife, and Elkanah were having sex. Well, so did Abraham and Sarah. But it says, he saw Hannah and Elkaniah having sex, she's trying to get pregnant. She's been up there praying forever. And it says here that Yahweh remembered her. And it says here in verse 20, and it came to pass, not then, not that night, ladies and gentlemen, or whenever they were having sex, because Yahweh was aware that they were having sex and she's trying to get pregnant. Yahweh was aware of this. Because his Yahweh remembered her. So he dropped in and said,
It's super happy to hear that. With old Hannah. She's praying and praying her heart out. In the fullness of time, that Hannah conceived. Oh, wait just a minute, ladies and gentlemen. We'll find out exactly what chapter 2 says. Now Hannah prayed and said, my heart rejoices before Yahweh, my horn is exalted in Yahweh, I smile at my enemies because I rejoice in his salvation. So it goes on in her prayers, and it's recorded here through verse 11. But let me show you something very strange here, that it says, after that the child grew, I mean, here, and the sons of Eli were corrupt, but after she is there, we find that Samuel ministered before Yahweh. Well, here he is a minister, and something's out of sequence here is what I'm trying to prove to you. Because over in chapter 2, to really show you who the progenitor was it Elkanah? Or was it Yahweh that got Miss Hannah pregnant and she had a son? Well, let's go here. And it relates in verse 20, and Eli would bless Elkanah and his wife and say, Yahweh give you descendants from this woman. Yahweh give you descendants. Just like Joseph, it was supposed that he was the father of the child. He wasn't. Look at that from here. And it clearly says, and Yahweh, in verse 21 of the second in chapter of 1 Samuel. After all of this, they finally hide it over here very indiscreetly. And Yahweh visited Hannah so that she conceived and bore 3 sons and 2 daughters. Meanwhile, the child Samuel grew before Yahweh. And Yahweh visited Hannah. That was Yahweh in on the first one. Well, it says over here in chapter 1 that he remembered her. Okay, they were trying to get pregnant. It wasn't man's part. I mean, it wasn't man's failure that he wasn't trying, because Elkanah was knowing her, constantly trying to get her pregnant. Moon cycle or whatever. Fertile cycle or whatever. He was trying. But it didn't happen. It didn't happen. Until Yahweh remembered her. Until Yahweh visited her. Ladies and gentlemen, this is part of what we're talking about here tonight. That the star kings, Yahweh himself is a star king, and he came from heaven. Now, let's look at the birth of the Messiah, the one we call the Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, this is, it's very, we don't play around over here, ladies and gentlemen. Over here, we take it that we've been taught that Jesus is the first born Messiah. And really, he's not. There wasn't any Savior. Samson, the one that I haven't had time to bring to you now. Remember, Samson was a proper child. He was a Nazarite. And it was the angel that predicted she would get pregnant. She was barren also. Ladies and gentlemen, just too many examples. And it's not strange for the star kings to come down and mate. They were made in Genesis 6. These fallen star kings came down. Now, that forced Yahweh to have to come down and to give himself a bloodline. Remember, he's the root of David as well as the offspring. That's amazing. I repeat that.
Yahweh is the root of David. That means that Yahweh is the author or the progenitor or the father of the seed line that David came through. In other words, Yahweh himself brought the children, and here are the examples that I'm giving you. These are coded and restricted because the fathers hid this from the wise and prudent and revealed it to the babes and suckling and would not reveal anything except he first revealed it to the prophets. And these things that I'm telling you tonight have been hidden from the eyes or the ears of the average listener, the holy called Christian. They just take the birth of Jesus. They don't go into the mechanics of how it happens. But if you listen, you'll find that the Bible says that Yahweh overshadowed Mary. Huh. Yahweh overshadowed Mary. Man, that's something. Yahweh overshadowed Mary. What's that mean? Does Yahweh do his cast a shadow? Evidently he did. God said he overshadowed her. What happened? Well, she got pregnant. Well, was Joseph the daddy? No. We don't know that, but we don't want to go into the mechanic function of how Yahweh got her pregnant. The fact that he got her pregnant shows that he had the ability long before he ever knew Mary. Because he knew these other women that brought his sons, particularly Isaac, which is the redeemable star god, or the star king, that came from heaven, and he fathered Jacob into the fold. So then Yahweh's son, Isaac, fathered, if you will, these sons into existence, and Isaac fathered Jacob. Now, did Isaac father Esau? There's where the cheese gets very binding. Yahweh did not, and I repeat, Yahweh did not, or was not, the father of Esau. Now, let me repeat that very slowly. I want you to catch this. If Yahweh was the father of Isaac, and I believe he was, then Isaac was not the father of that Edomite, Esau. He didn't even bear any resemblance to him. He didn't have any nature like him. He was, and the Bible says itself that there were two nations of people in the womb. Now, why? Well, let's find out. This is in the 25th chapter. This is the genealogy of Isaac, Abraham's son. Abraham begot Isaac. Isaac was 40 years when he took Rebekah as his wife, and Isaac pleaded with Yahweh for his wife. Now, here we are again, ladies and gentlemen. Isaac pleaded with Yahweh. What was he wanting her to do? Get her pregnant. Isaac was 40 years old when he took Rebekah to wife, and he pleaded with Yahweh for his wife because she was barren, and Yahweh granted his plea, and Rebekah, his wife, conceived. But the children struggled together within her, and she said, "If all is well, why am I this way?" So she went to inquire of Yahweh, and Yahweh said unto her, two different seeds, ladies and gentlemen, verse 23 of Genesis chapter 25, two different seeds. Look at that word nation up there. You'll find it. You'll see it. Two different seeds are in the womb. Two people, different, separated, shall be separated from your womb. One people shall be stronger than the other. That was Esau. But the older shall serve the younger. Isn't that strange? That Yahweh created a battlefield. Rebecca's womb was a battlefield, actually, for the star gods to make war. Started right in the womb before they ever came out. They knew their function. They knew their destiny. Both of them did. Both of them had a spiritual insight to their mission. Esau, the stronger, was from a fallen star god. Jacob was from a risen star god. And that's the difference. Ew. One star god can impregnate. You say, well, why didn't Rebecca say something about this? How did she go out and play the harlot? It doesn't say. And I'm not going to speculate this. Was it she might have been kidnapped, abducted, or hypnotically abducted and impregnated through artificial insemination by the bad guys? I don't know. However, I do know that that seed in there was not of Yahweh. Yahweh hated that seed before it ever done any good or before it ever done any bad. He hated it. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to have to get out of here. My time on the old clock is saying that I need to get out of here. Matter of fact, my time is almost gone. So let me close by saying this. Number one, it's a genetic war. Number two, it is the star kings that are vying for supremacy of genetics. Yahweh had to curse the genetics of the Satan, that fallen angel that had something in him that wanted him to go bad. That made him go bad. The Bible said iniquity was found in him. Now, Yahweh that good meal, he says he does. So was the iniquity sown in Satan from the beginning when he was created? He has a beginning. In that case, he has an end. Are they just playing the roles? Well, are you playing yours? Can the clay say to the potter? It's the potter that is doing the expression and the imaging and the making and the overshadowing right here as I'm talking to you. So it's in the hands of Yahweh, not man. Flesh and blood's not going to inherit this kingdom, no way, ladies and gentlemen. So you must learn these progressive steps of understanding the things hidden in the history of the heavens. That's somewhere out there right now. If you believe in a risen Savior, if you believe he died and bled, he shed his righteous blood to cover the sin of Eve in the garden as she prostituted herself to Satan and brought the first son. You see, the Bible says that Eve knew Adam, and that's true. That's in Genesis chapter 4, verse 1. But what it says in Genesis 4 and 1, you need to understand the terminology or the Hebrew language as opposed to the English language. You see, sometimes language can interrupt, disrupt, or confuse, or find, or overshadow, or hide the true intention because words are very powerful. And Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bore Cain, and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord, King James Version. If you look at that word from, that word should have been translated against. Did Eve have the understanding that this being that came from her womb would be the very one that would be against Yahweh, because these genetics would begin to want to climb up some other way from Cain. See, Cain is a genetic spawn of Satan. And Yahweh cursed the seed and said, it will not inherit with my son. Cast out the bond. This is the bond seed. This is the generic seed of a created being. This is not the seed of an eternal being. If it was an eternal being, it would be different. It would be Yahweh's. Now, you say, well, Pastor Benton, the Bible says that Adam knew. He could have known her, like I said, like Elkanah. He knew her. He knew his wife, Hannah. Abraham knew Sarah. You think he only had sex with her when she got pregnant? No, he knew her many times before they tried to get her pregnant. She didn't get pregnant. Adam, after they left the garden, she was pregnant in the garden. It says Adam knew her outside the garden. But he could have known her 10,000 times, and she would have still brought the seed of her original conception because she was pregnant in the garden. Therefore, the seed that she had outside the garden had nothing to do with Adam, because Adam didn't have a seed in his likeness until the fifth chapter of the book of Genesis. Read it for yourself. So the first son that came out of her womb was a fraternal twin, because she continued in her Abel. Now, that seed had to be from Yahweh. That seed had to be Yahweh's seed. See, Yahweh had to know better. As Satan overshadowed Eve in the garden, Yahweh had to overshadow her, because this is going to be the mother of all that live. In this case, Yahweh had the option of discerning or deciding which one lived and which one not, which one was good and which one was bad. That was from the tree of the garden of good and evil, because that seed knew good and evil, and it said, we will become gods. In opposition to the rule of the flesh and blood man, which is a lower being. It was meant to carry the light being, the spirit of the light. It was meant to carry it forever. But once I was accursed, and then a limited time that it wouldn't live beyond a certain year, then it had to die. So therefore, it couldn't inherit. Because he's not a god of the dead, he's a god of the living. So only the living can inherit, and only the living are those eternal beings that come through his spirit and direction, and Yahweh himself is the father of all those that live. If you're a son of God now, or if you're a daughter of God, Yahweh in this case that we're talking about, then you have life from the spirit, not from the flesh. Flesh profits nothing. And flesh without the spirit is dead. So if he can be engaged with spirit, Satan knew that. That's why he wanted to get his spirit into the flesh body so he would live forever. And his seed would inherit heaven. And he would rule over all the mighty ones in the heavens, my Yahweh. So these two supreme beings, Yahweh and the Satan, were vying for supremacy. The angels that were persuaded by Satan to join him began to have offspring, and they filled the earth with these evil beings. Now Yahweh and his sons are the victims of the evil and the wrath of Satan, who came out of the heavens, or down from the heavens, to make war with him and love Yahweh to this commandment. Don't never underestimate the power of Satan, the fallen God. These angelic demons, these fallen gods, these are star kings, ladies and gentlemen. Those that were born in the stars from above, not here on this earth. Those that pre-existed before this earth was ever formed. This plan has been going on for a long time. And all these plans will be carried out to the very time that he calls on him to this third dimensional world system. It's a triumph for him. For the good spirits to oppose the bad, and the bad spirits to persecute and to prosecute the good. Bad fighting, good, good, one against the bad. That's been the process of proving This is a proving ground. You're in the battle. You're in the hunt. You're in the chase. Run the race. And then the crown. Well, I'm not saying good night to you as much as I hate to. But my time is coming up. I'll see you next Sunday night on WWCR 507 out of Nashville, Tennessee. Live and direct, Pastor Buddy. And part three of the Sparkings from Heaven Came. You don't want to miss it. Part three. God bless you.
Till Armageddon, no shalom, no shalom. Then the father hen will call his chickens home. The wise men will bow down before the throne. And at his feet they'll catch their golden crowns.
When the name comes to us.
Whoever is unjust, let him be unjust still. Whoever is righteous, let him be righteous still. Whoever is filthy, let him be filthy still. Listen to the words long written down. From the man who comes around. Hear the trumpets, hear the pipers. 100 million angels singing. Multitudes are marching to the big mountain. Voices calling, voices crying. Some are falling, some are dying. It's Alpha and Omega's kingdom come. And the whirlwind is in the storm. The virgins are all turning their wings. The whirlwind is in the thorn tree. It's hard to be to kick against the prick. In measured 100 weight and feet. When the man comes around.
In the midst of the four beasts, and I looked, and behold, a pale horse, and his name that sat on him was Death, and Hell followed with him.